Turn our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I guess eventually if you live in Western New York long enough, you'll pick up allergies, I guess. And I seem to have gathered them the last few years, only the last couple few years. And never heard the word in Maine, I don't think. I don't know, but anyway, those are things we endure, I guess. So I hope you'll be able to hear me okay. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Last time I spoke, we looked at 1 John chapter 5. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And faith is that which brings us the victory in order to overcome the world. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And God is the one who gives us true eternal faith. I want to look again at another portion here concerning faith. We saw the victorious faith, and then we're going to look at the precious faith that Peter talks about here. One of the interesting things about the book of Peter is the book of First Peter, he begins by referring to himself as Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and so on. Here he refers to himself as Simon Peter. He uses the name Simon Peter. And I think there's significance in that as we think of it. As we know that when Peter wrote this book, it was a time of persecution for the believers. It was times of great testing and trial for the faith. I mean, the believers, as Peter writes to those that were scattered throughout Pontus, Cappadocia, Galatia, Bithynia, and so on. It was great days of persecution. And we can think of the persecution of the church through the centuries has suffered persecution. I think of men that have been burned to the stake if you read church history, and John Wesley, Charles Wesley, and some of these men who stood for the faith and gave their lives in expression of their faith that was that is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not only great days of persecution, but great days of apostasy, a turning away from the truth of the Word of God. And the truth that was once held, the faith that was once held, became weak. And Peter is seeking to bring the believers back to the things of God that establishes true faith. And we're going to look at some of those. we see that he referred to himself as Simon Peter. Remember when the Lord Jesus first met Peter in 1 John or John 1:42. he called him Simon. Says, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas." And when the Lord Jesus called him, he referred to his name as Simon. "But thou shalt be called Cephas." And then if we go to Matthew 16, a familiar verse portion, and verse 17, Lord Jesus says to Simon, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So he called him Peter. "Thou art Peter." Peter was certainly one that was used of the Lord in the spreading of the gospel and the establishment of the early church. And so he refers to himself as Simon Peter. Perhaps maybe also in the days of apostasy that he used his full name in light of the fact that apostasy is a very slowly infiltrating, and Peter referred to himself as Simon Peter. I think it's interesting that Peter, as Peter's name means a little rock, and Peter was as he writes here, a servant, which really is the word for bondman, a slave. The word is used as the lowest part of a slave, as a slave serving his master. And that's what Peter refers to himself as just a slave, a bondsman. And one who, not worthy of anything of himself, but he wanted to be a slave to his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, sometimes we think we're something. We think that we couldn't get along without us. You know, sometimes we think we've achieved, but you know, we're only a slave. We're only one who is simply and humbly serving the Lord. And there's nothing of ourselves that we can give. It's what He has done, and it's our Master whom we serve, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's an apostle of Jesus Christ, one who was sent out to preach the gospel and to carry the good news of salvation and of the righteousness of God. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Peter refers himself, as he speaks concerning the elders, "who am also an elder," refers to himself as an elder, an under shepherd, an overseer, and one whose heart was concerned for the people of God. And he addresses those, he's writing to those, to them that have obtained like precious things with us. I was thinking of that. He's writing to believers who've obtained like precious faith. And you know, the faith that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, true faith, is precious in God's sight, isn't it? Your faith, my faith, those of us that have obtained like precious faith, is a value to God. It's precious faith. Several weeks ago, I received a call, and my dad's brother passed away, and he was 100 years old, and I was talking to my cousin, and he says, you know, his faith was just as strong at the end as it had been for many years. And I thought about that, you know, and my uncle knew the Lord, and so on. But, you know, what makes our faith strong? Peter writes to those that have obtained like precious faith. What are the characteristics of faith? And I think we're going to see some of those things as we go on. But our faith is only as strong as the amount of knowledge that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have knowledge, Peter says, then our faith is going to multiply. It's going to be strong. And we're going to look at some of those things. That's precious faith. And I was thinking about that. We've obtained precious faith. That which is of value. That which is lasting. It's something that binds us together, isn't it? You've obtained like precious faith with us. You think of those two words, with us. I like to think of believers here at the chapel that we've obtained like precious faith. We're together. We have one accord because we have one goal in mind, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Him as slaves to a master. And that's what makes us together, with us. We're together. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 2. And verse 18. Yeah, 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. He's speaking the last time of the church, I believe, the last days of the church age. There's going to be Antichrist. There's going to be those that oppose. They're anti, they're against Christ. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. And they went out, that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. You see that Peter says those are like precious things that are with us. But John writes that were those that were not with us. And they went out. And they separated. It's obvious they were not with us. They were not together in doctrine and in teaching. and the whole aspect of the knowledge of God and the revelation of God in the Word of God. And you see, that's what was happening in the days of Peter writes, the apostasy and turning away from the truth. There were those that were not with them. There were those that went out. It was obvious they were not with them as they separated from them. But notice in verse 20, but we have an unction, the power of the Holy One, and ye know all things. John says it's, we have an unction, we have a power, we have the inspiration of the Spirit of God that reveals the things of the Holy One of God, and we have all things. We need to realize that as believers, we've obtained like precious faith, the same faith, everlasting faith. But through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that's the source. That it's through the righteousness of God. Much could be said about the righteousness of God. God's righteousness. He's right. He's absolutely right. He's God. His perfect righteousness. And it's through His righteousness. Not anything of ourselves, but it's the righteousness of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's His righteousness. Romans 3 and verse 21, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there's no difference. It's by the righteousness of God, by faith of Jesus Christ. It's by faith that we appropriate the righteousness of God and entering into His righteousness, knowing that we have none of ourselves, but it's His righteousness and through faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's upon all them that believe. And if we believe, His faith has been appropriated to us. His righteousness is through the righteousness of God are we declared by faith. And then Peter writes concerning his greeting, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The multiplication of grace and peace through the knowledge of God. Faith by the righteousness of God, or by the knowledge of God, do we see the multiplication of grace and peace. You know, if those that obtain like precious faith experience His grace and His peace, don't we? When there's turmoil and unrest, there is no expression, true expression of grace and peace. But when we have rest and peace with Him through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, through Him that we experience His grace and peace. Peter ends the book by saying, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The emphasis of knowledge, you see in this book, is Peter writes so many times of the knowledge of God. And so little do we have of the knowledge of God. How much do we really grasp of the knowledge of God? How much do I? How much do we spend time and just saying, Lord, I want to know your knowledge. I want to know more of you. To know the knowledge of God and of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. According to His divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. It's according to His divine power. And we see in verse 4, we're partakers of the divine nature. And we need to realize that it's according to His divine power. It's divine, it's holy, it's godly power. It's not anything of ourselves, but it's a dependence upon His power. The dependence of the Spirit of God, the unction of His Spirit, can we know all things. It's only through Him. We're His slaves. He's our master. And we need to know our master. We need to know the knowledge of God. It can be according to His divine power. It's His power. It's through His might. And it's not of ourselves. As many today have gained a lot of knowledge, that's not according to godliness. Paul writes in the last days, the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's no power apart from God. And men today think they have power but they are gifted in such a way that it becomes beyond what God intends as a servant of God. No, not as a true power of God. Only through His power, through the power of the Word of God, and knowing and not having the knowledge of God, can we be used as slaves, as a servant for Him. He's given us all things. We don't lack anything in the Word of God, do we? He's given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. In the realm of our faith, in the multiplication of our faith, in the strengthening of our faith, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. When you think of it, those are the two utmost things in our life, or ought to be. The things that we interpret in life in the light of godliness. And having a God-likeness, having a godly manner, thinking of godly things. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. And it's through His power that we can interpret things in that light, isn't it? It's through, simply through His power, and His divine power, He's given all things. Through the knowledge of Him. And it's again, through the knowledge of Him. It's through knowing God. Spending time in His Word, and through knowing Him, can we understand his divine power and all things that he's given to us pertaining to life and godliness. They have called us to glory and virtue. And he's called us to glory and virtue. Awesome thought when you think of it, he's called us to glory and virtue. You mean God has called me to glory and virtue? God wants each one of us to be godly before him through his divine power, through the knowledge of him. He's called us to glory and virtue. He's called each one of us that are here. We know the Lord is a Savior. He's called you. He's called each one of us to glory and virtue. Virtue is a lot of excellency. Great expression. The virtue. It's something of great value. And Peter continues to dwell on the aspect of virtue. He's called you and I to glory and to virtue. We're going to look again sometime, perhaps, at the practice promises as Peter writes. Promises that he's given to us. And not only do we have precious faith, we have precious promises from the Word of God. We trust that as we look into His Word, that we'll really desire to have a knowledge of God, to really know what it is, to have a real knowledge, to really meditate and to get to know him, not to be tossed about, but to work for ourselves, to spend time with him, that we might have a true knowledge of God and all the things that pertain to life and godliness.